listening to Night Cheese with Shippa and Kelly.
And Cashew.
We're here together again, finally, in back person. In the studio. Yes. Oh my goodness, it's been so long. Shippa, where have you been?
I know. I've been in Austin, Texas. And I came back to Houston over the weekend.
Nice.
And I'm here for the next couple of weeks.
So you came here to MC an R engagement. Can you explain to the audience what an R engagement is?
Oh.
And what an MC is?
Brother. What an MC is?
Yeah, I just want to be thorough.
Okay, so an R engagement is just a dance performance, like kind of a culmination of several years of education for someone who's learned a type of dance called Bharatanatyam, which is Indian classical dance, and a lot of Indian people, girls, do it sometimes. Not a lot. Some of them do it.
Only for Bharatanatyam?
It's called that only for Bharatanatyam. Is that true? There's other types of dance that sometimes use other words to mean the same type of thing.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, Arangetram actually, I'm referring to Bharatanatyam, but a lot of different people do that same type of performance.
Okay.
Kind of like a graduation performance. Okay. Like a senior recital.
Yeah. Perfect.
That's what it is.
Okay, cool.
And they require someone to MC, like, because you do a lot of different dances, and it's very deep into Hindu mythology and all kinds of stuff that the audience will not know what is going on unless you describe it to them. Correct.
Yeah.
So in the past, I have MC'd some of these, which was really exciting. And someone told me that I did a good job once, but my voice needed to be huskier.
Huskier?
Yeah. It was real weird.
Huskier? Like, what does that mean? Like more man, like more like you have a cold?
Yes. Yeah. More like.
It's like deep. They're asking you to have more vocal fry. They say huskier.
I don't know about vocal fry. You know how sometimes people sound hotter when they have a cold?
Oh, you mean like a Scarlett Johansson sort of voice?
Yes.
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 So
that's what this person is telling
me to do. She wanted you to sound sexier.
It was a man.
He wanted you to sound sexier at his daughter's Arangetram?
It wasn't his daughter. It was another man attending the Arangetram.
Oh.
It was weird. Yeah.
Do your husky voice.
I don't have a husky voice.
Yes, you do.
Hey.
Wait, keep going. Say something.
Welcome to the Arangetram.
Oh my god.
That was pretty hot. What's
listeners,
yours?
Listeners, if you are masturbating, I wouldn't blame you.
Pick your jaws up off the floor, people. What's yours?
I don't... Let me think. Like, hello.
That's an accent! What's your husky voice? Do some more.
Hey.
Whoa. Guys.
I don't think any sound came out.
That was real husky.
Hi. I don't think I can do it. Sounds... I think I have to, like, take up cigarettes, and then, like, maybe 10 years later I could have a husky voice.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, you didn't MC this particular R engage from this weekend.
Right. Oh, yes, that's true. I was asked to at the last second by my dance teacher, who was, like, begging me to do it, and I was like, okay.
You're so popular.
And then I called her, I emailed her, and asked, like, for information that I would need to MC, and she said, oh, actually, I asked someone else to do it. You...
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I was taken off the roster.
Oh, my God. So are y'all in a fight now? Have you started a Twitter feud?
She doesn't know about it, but yes.
Oh, okay, wow.
Anyway, so I went to the Arangetram, and it was great, and the MC was great, and everyone was great.
You were saying something about how the Arangetram... industry has developed?
Yes. Before we turned on the mics, I was saying that when I did my Arangetram, which was literally 10 years ago, which I didn't realize until this past weekend.
Aw.
Which is horrifying. it's just a dance performance. And in India, it's very, from what I know, it's very low-key. Because I have some cousins who've done it. And it's not as big of a production. It's still, like, a big achievement, but it's not, like, somehow it's not... like as big of a production.
People will
just like go to the temple and perform and then go home.
Okay.
Whereas here it's more of a thing, like people will rent out a hall and you'll invite everyone that you know, and all of your family members will travel from afar. So when I did mine, we did all of that and we went the extra mile, I thought, by providing snacks afterward.
Ooh.
We like got catered snacks.
Gushers? orange slices, Gatorade.
It was not a soccer game?
Whoa, 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 whoa. What?
It was not a children's soccer game.
What flavor Gatorade you get?
Blue.
I fuck with blue.
Yeah. So we got some of those and some, like, Indian snacks.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, this is, like, very generous of us. But now, 10 years later, it's really blown up.
Oh.
You have to provide... There's, like, a snack hour before the performance.
Wedding. Jeez.
Exactly. There's a dinner afterwards.
Are you serious?
I got free snacks and free dinner catered.
You have to pay for the dinner for your guests?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's wait, but it must it's be like 100 so people
at least.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my
more.
God. I mean, well, I guess like some like for Mexican Americans they do quinceañeras and those can be kind of expensive and I guess bat mitzvah can be expensive. So this is,
I imagine,
a similar type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure that, similarly, maybe those, like, ceremonies have evolved over time, too.
Probably.
Like, all of the side stuff that goes along with the core part. Yeah, anyway, it was great.
Oh, cool.
There was snacks and dinner and a goodie bag.
Oh, my God.
And they put, like, a little hand-signed thank you note in the goodie bag.
What's she thanking you for?
For coming.
You didn't do anything.
And taking advantage of all the free shit she gave
us. God. It just seems so, like, I don't know. I can't believe she thanked you. You of all people.
Hey.
I guess it's nice to have people come.
Yeah.
But it's not like you were giving her gifts. The gift was just your attendance.
Yeah. Well, dang. Actually, people do give gifts. Okay, so it's like kind of people, obviously all of her like friends and family and people that she knows show up. But because we all belong to the same dance school, like mm-hmm. a lot of people that she might not know, but that my dance teacher has invited show up. Like mm-hmm. that's how I ended up there. I don't know her personally.
Yeah.
So we didn't provide gifts, but people who like are actually close to her do usually gifts. Like
okay.
I got gifts and stuff.
Okay.
Mine.
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't get you a gift for your R&J trunk.
I'm sorry I didn't.
I would have if you had invited me, you bitch.
How are you doing?
It's neither here nor there. So we're here today not to talk about our engagements.
No.
But to talk about Riverdale.
Yes.
Which is a show on the CW that is based loosely?
Quite loosely.
Very loose. Very loosely off the Archie comics, which I did not read.
Right.
Did you read them?
Yeah.
What's it about?
Completely nothing related to the show.
Okay.
It has
some of the same characters, right?
Just all of the characters have the same names.
Okay.
Are
all of the characters that are in the show also in the comic book?
Good.
Or just the main four?
Question.
The core four.
Actually, no. I would say, I think almost, I don't know if all of them, I think almost all of them are in the comic books. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But they're... It's not at all similar to their personalities on the show.
Okay,
they just have the same names.
The show is like a spooky teen drama.
Yeah.
Is that a good...
Yeah,
that's the genre. Kind of similar to Pretty Little Liars.
It has filled that hole in my heart.
Yeah, it has filled that hole for me, too. Though I think Pretty Little Liars is a better version of that genre, of the spooky teen drama.
I think this is... The genre maybe is a little different because it, like... kind of seems to play on various other, like, spooky, like, noir TV shows and movies that I've never watched.
Oh, does it?
Like, a lot of the episode titles apparently are plays on the thing that they're referencing, and I don't get any of them because I don't know any of those.
We can't all be as smart as Jughead. God.
Remember when he's like, I'm weird. Haven't you noticed? That's the best. Yeah, so it's, like, spooky, but it's supposed to also be referencing other spooky things.
Yeah, okay, all right, so maybe it's slightly different, but there's a lot of overlap between the spooky teen drama of Pretty Little Liars and the spooky teen drama noir
for
genre
sure.
of Riverdale.
And, for sure.
Well, if you don't know about the show, I want to quickly go through the main characters. Archie Andrews, he's got red hair. I found out recently that his natural hair color is brown.
Right. And he's New Zealander.
He's from New Zealand?
New Zealand.
He's from New Zealand. You know what? His American accent is really good.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. He is the good hot. Guy. Oh, and yeah. Hot, yes. It's a good thing that all these actors are over 18, Shabba.
He's... Okay.
She's into really the character of Archie Andrews, who is a high school student.
No, I'm into the actor who's slightly older and has a hot Kiwi accent.
I haven't even heard his New Zealand accent.
New Zealand.
He's like a football player. He wears a Letterman jacket. He's kind of the good guy.
In season one, he also wants to be a musician.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
There's also Jughead Jones, who's, like, best friends with Archie. He's dark. I think he literally says that he understands the world through sarcasm or something, which is, like, you would see literally those words on a shirt at Hot Topic in, like, 2005. I don't know if Hot Topic has changed their brand at all since then. And he also narrates the beginning and ending of the show because he's ostensibly writing some kind of novel or... I don't know, autobiographical
right. book I love about that it. Narration
and his
part.
Narration is terrible. It's extremely dramatic.
It's always like, little did we know.
Yeah, exactly. and he always wears a beanie cap, and it's strongly implied in season one that he never takes it off, but we do see him without it in a few episodes.
Oh, true. Okay. In the comics, it looks like a literal, like, crown.
Oh, really?
It doesn't look like a cap. I don't know what it's actually supposed to be.
Oh.
Maybe it's supposed to just be a cap, but it looks like a hat crown situation.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And his thing in the comics is that he really likes to eat, and he's very obsessed with food.
Oh.
But apparently...
they talk about that in season two.
They do?
During his hunger strike? Or did you forget?
Fully forgot.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that.
We'll come back.
On a hunger strike.
We'll come back to it. He's, in the show, he's very moralizing and self-righteous.
Correct.
Though no one really views him that way. It's just the audience of Shubha and me view him that way. and he's from the South Side, which is like the bad part of Riverdale, the name of the town that they live in. It's convenient that the show is called Riverdale because they say Riverdale all the time, which Shubha and I love.
Yes!
The title of a show or movie is used as a line of dialogue.
Correct.
And he lives on the South Side, and his dad is kind of I don't know, he seems kind of like a deadbeat dad at first, and then he's a gang member.
Gang member with a heart of gold.
With a heart of gold.
Who used to be a deadbeat.
And a jacket of leather.
And a
He used to be kind of a deadbeat, but now he's, like, trying to make amends or whatever.
Yeah. And the actor is, like, what show is he from?
The actor's fine as hell.
He is fine.
Yeah.
What show is he from?
I have no idea.
He was from, he's, like, an adult now.
He's an adult now?
He was a child.
This is the level of analysis you've come to Night Cheese for.
I'm so concerned that you're going to have, like, notes.
I have notes. Show me to bring no notes.
Here's the thing.
Well, you watched it, like, I watched it more recently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I figured that you would just talk. Oh, my God. Look at all your notes.
Yeah.
I figured you would just talk about stuff, and then I would respond
That's
to whatever
fine.
I remember.
That's fine. Let's do it that way.
Okay, okay.
Okay, and then there's Betty Cooper.
I was about to say Betty Draper. It's a different program.
They have the same hair color.
Yeah,
So Betty Cooper, who lives next door to Archie. She's the girl next door to Archie, and she's also the girl next door character.
Correct.
She's very sweet, wears a lot of sweaters, and wears her hair in a ponytail. And she's always trying to do the right thing, and she seems so demure. But she has a dark side, which she says at least 25 times.
Yeah, and it comes out by her putting on a wig that's brunette.
And being a dominatrix. So, yeah, that's her. And then her best friend, Veronica, who... So Betty dates Jughead, and Veronica dates Archie. Veronica, her family is like a crime family. Her dad is a gangster. They're
a hot gangster.
Yes.
Dads are all... pretty good looking.
That was one of the topics on here, was the
dills.
Oh, we'll get to it. Her family isn't from Riverdale. They're coming from New York. Her dad had a stint in prison, but he gets out of prison, and she's like your kind of New York socialite who's come to live in this small town, and she is very popular. And
yeah.
What else? Oh, they're the family is Latin American. Latinx. That's
so
what it is.
They say like mija a lot.
That's what I was gonna say is they, you know, that they are Latinx because they use the word mija and mi amor.
Oh, they do
like a lot, yeah. Just to remind you that they are Latinx.
Because all Latinx people I know are named Hiram and Hermione. Honestly, it's great because that's like the biggest problem with Archie the comics is that I'm pretty sure for the first like 100 years of the comics they had no non-white characters.
Oh,
so I mean, I think the show did the right thing.
Okay, yeah, they introduced, I think so too.
Like,
yeah,
one black character. And then
Josie's black character.
Oh, Josie. You know what? Josie is black.
Yeah.
In the comics.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of the comics where she interacts with the Archie world. Like, oh. Josie and the Pussycats have their own line of comics.
Oh.
I guess they exist in the same world, but when I was reading it, I never saw them interacting with each other. But you're right. Yeah,
they all go to the same high school. The mayor is black.
But in the comics, Josie is white.
Oh, really?
She's like a white girl with like short hair. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad that the casting choices were right. Better yeah. than the casting choices of the comic.
For sure.
Yeah. They cast all white comic book characters. Okay, so those are the main characters. Shubha, can you describe the plot of season one?
Like, literally, no. Okay.
Oh, there's one key character that we're leaving out, which is my favorite character. Cheryl
Blossom,
who is like a high school sex pot. Like, she wears like insane pinup girl clothing, mm-hmm. which they all wear insane clothing, but hers is the most like outrageous. She yes. has like bright red hair. She always wears a bold matte red lip.
Yep, it looks great.
Yeah, she's great at style, and she is kind of a wild card because she acts kind of like a demon, but sometimes she's nice. And then yeah. we find out that she has some kind of childhood trauma.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the first season is mainly... Oh, her brother dies.
Yeah.
And it's strongly implied that she and her brother had a weird, incestuous relationship.
So
he's murdered.
The mystery is who murdered him and why.
Yeah, and this is such a good show. They, like, own a maple syrup company.
Oh, jeez, I forgot about that. Yeah, they have maple trees, and they sell maple syrup.
Yeah.
And they're the richest family in Riverdale.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, a bajillion other things happen.
Yes.
But the upshot is that her brother, that the maple syrup was a front for
drugs. One drug.
In particular.
Called...
Jingle jangle. Doesn't that scare you?
It's really scary.
Did that send shivers down your spine?
It's called Jingle Jangle.
Part of the show.
And that is elaborated on more in season two.
Correct.
So in season one, at the end of season one, her dad has committed suicide.
Because he fully murdered
his son. Yes. If you find out that he is the one who killed Cheryl's brother. And he commits suicide. And Cheryl lights their house on fire. Okay. And then in the opening episode of season two, her mom is like suffering from like third degree burns. She's like completely mummified in bandages. And Cheryl's like, it's my turn, mommy. It's out of control. Cheryl is my favorite character. And I guess she, because her mom and dad had kind of psychologically tortured her and abused her growing up, and so now it's her turn to enact her revenge.
Yeah.
Okay, so that takes us to season two. Season two is about, so at the end of season one, a guy shoots Archie's dad in the diner,
right.
And he's wearing a black ski mask, but for whatever reason, they get that confused with a hood, so instead they call him the Black Hood.
They couldn't say black
mask.
Balaclava. That's too wordy.
Black balaclava is actually both a more accurate description of that item of clothing, and it just rolls off the tongue much easier.
Is that a balaclava?
Black balaclava.
I don't 100% know what a balaclava
is. It is. That is. It's a black balaclava. Say it. Black balaclava.
Balaclava.
It just sounds better. so. But instead,
can you imagine the whole show every time they said black hood, black balaclava,
the balaclava over it
stuck again.
Let's re-release our version. He's the black hood. It's a mystery. Who is he? Why did he shoot?
He has beautiful green eyes.
He does have piercingly green eyes.
Dazzle, yeah.
And Archie remembers seeing the eyes, and he's like, I'm going to hunt him down. And season two is insane, obviously.
It was so good.
Even more insane than season one. His dad obviously makes a full recovery. Archie, okay, we're not going to talk about every bit of the plot, but it is important to mention that Archie is a high school student, He decides to go after the Black Hood himself, which is common in the spooky teen drama, spooky teen drama genre, which is that only the children can solve the crimes and problems in the town, not the adults and not the police. So he starts a gang that comprises his high school football player friends, and they call it the Red Circle, and they record a video on YouTube of them shirtless in a classroom.
Except he's not shirtless.
That's upsetting.
Everyone is shirtless except Archie.
This is Shubba's main complaint with the show.
Stupid.
Yeah. They're all shirtless, like, hanging around desks and stuff, and there's, like, all these shirtless guys in the background, and he's talking directly into the camera, like, issuing threats.
Yeah.
And then you cut to Veronica's dad, Hiram, like, at a desk in a dark office, watching it on the computer, masturbating.
What are you implying?
It is strongly implied that he's masturbating.
That's not correct.
Agree to disagree.
I mean, what else would he be doing?
What else would he be doing? I don't... A grown man watching shirtless boys on YouTube.
That's a real dark undercurrent to the whole season that I didn't even pick up on.
Yes, and there's another scene where Archie's trying to get in good with Veronica's dad, and so he tries out for wrestling because Veronica's dad, Hiram, is obsessed with wrestling. He used to do wrestling in high school. And then he, like, oversees these teen boys wrestling tryouts, and then he, like, requests to wrestle Archie specifically, a grown man in his 40s, late 40s at least, wrestling on a mat with a teenage boy.
It's troubling.
I'm just saying he might be a pedo.
You're probably right.
They're not going to touch it.
Definitely way too involved in all of their lives.
Oh, all of the adults are.
All of the adults. Actually, Archie's dad, I feel like, is kind of reasonable.
Yeah.
But that's true. All the other parents are aggressively involved in their kids' sex lives, school lives.
Well, okay, and there's, like, the last day of wrestling tryouts, because apparently this is, like, a multi-day affair. Oh, my God. There's just so many people, eligible wrestlers. The, like, whole town is in the stands. It makes no fucking sense. Yeah. So there's that. It's crazy. So the gist of season two is they're trying to go after this killer. The killer, the Black Hood, or the Black Balaclava, as we will call him, makes phone calls to Betty with, like, a voice modifier, and it's spooky.
Oh, so spooky.
And they're like, who is this?
And does he set his own ringtone on her phone?
Yes, that is
accurate.
That's
not a thing, right?
When you hack,
very confusing.
When you hack into the mainframe, Shubba, anything is possible.
He chose the song Lollipop, Lollipop.
I don't even know that song.
It's a real happy, uplifting song.
Like, the old days or something?
I genuinely know it, I think, from Radio Disney.
Oh, okay. Wait, sing it.
Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lollipop.
Yeah, okay, that's what it sounds like. Good job.
Thank you.
So, he does set a ringtone for himself
on her phone
that she never changes, and it shows up as unknown. So I don't... I don't even know if you can program a ringtone for unknown. It's like, you're not seeing the rest of the calls that are just, like, scammers.
they all have different ones.
But she knows when to answer.
That makes it a lot less scary.
Yeah. So she's like, why is he choosing me? And the killer is killing other people. He kills the high school teacher who had an affair with Archie.
Casual.
In season one, just casual pedophilia. He kills a high school student. He's just killing.
He just killed.
Yeah. And there's a, like, Archie becomes part of Veronica's dad's crime family. It's a very, like, The Departed. Is it like The Departed where, the, you know, like, young Matt Damon in that movie is, like, being groomed?
Except in, like, the... Except in this one, I couldn't tell if he... For a long time, I thought he was just pretending to be groomed.
No.
But it turned out, he really was. And then he, like, leaves. But for a while, I was like, oh, like, he's gonna be a double agent. But no, he's, like, fully trying to become a mob boss.
Yeah.
And it's very confusing.
Yeah.
Like, his motivations are very unclear.
Yeah.
I don't get it at all.
I don't get it either. I guess it's just his fun high school internship.
That's what it is. He gave up his music. So he needed something else.
Yeah. It's implied that when he starts hanging out with the mob that he's doing it because he's trying to spy on Hiram Lodge. That's their family's name is Lodge. Because he's approached by an FBI agent because it's totally legal for an FBI agent to approach a minor without ever speaking to their parents and telling them to keep it a secret from their parents, in fact, and, like, like applying pressure and whatever else.
That's very PLL.
Yeah. And then, but then you find out that he's not actually... Well, no, sorry. Let me back up. There's one critical scene that's very important to me. Veronica is getting confirmed at church for whatever reason. She's having a delayed confirmation. And Agent Adams, which is the name of this so-called FBI agent, comes to Archie and says, you need to, you know, do some spying for me at this confirmation because the Lodges, their whole family is going to be here. Their crime family. And I'm just like, ah! It was physically painful to watch that.
I just want to point out that you're incorrect in that that's the most important part of that
scene. Oh, yes?
Because the most important part of that scene is where she and Josie sing an a cappella version of Bittersweet Symphony.
Oh.
At her... She's a teenage person getting confirmed for some reason.
Yeah.
And she and another girl sing Bittersweet Symphony in a church.
Yeah.
That's the most...
That was confusing.
That was really important to me.
A lot of their song choices were confusing.
I know.
Yeah, there's another plot line where Betty is trying to become a Southside Serpent, which is the name of Jughead's dad's gang. And now we will begin talking about the Southside Serpents. It's a completely ludicrous gang, I guess.
But it's like the most important thing in the whole season.
It's like, yeah, they're a gang of kind of men who don't have... like, steady jobs, I would say.
Right.
And they're high school-aged children.
Yes. It's dads bonding with their kids.
Yeah.
In a gang.
In a bar that is called the White Worm, and in case you were wondering how it's spelled, it is W-H-Y-T-E
W-Y-R-M.
Yeah. Think about that for a little bit.
Let that sink in.
Yeah.
It is mostly dads and their kids.
They wear leather jackets.
It's like an after-school program.
They all have nicknames. So one of them is named Sweet Pea. One of them is named Tall Boy.
And yet Sweet Pea is significantly taller than Tall Boy.
Unanswered questions.
Tall Boy is at least 50.
Yeah. They have some gang initiation rituals. It's not clear to me what the gang actually does. I guess they just hang out. Like, there's a gang of friends.
They, like, do a lot of charity work.
Yeah, they don't, like, do... I guess they kind of, like, fight people as needed.
But they're... Yeah, they're kind of, like, mostly nonviolent, right?
Yeah, I think so. Will beat people up if they need to.
If they have to, okay.
Yeah.
Don't they do, like, a charity Christmas drive or something?
Yes, they do.
Sponsored by their gang.
Yes, I am hoping that this podcast gets sponsored by a local gang. So, and it's basically everyone who lives on this part of town, the dreaded South Side, is part of this gang, the South Side Serpents. And it's revealed a few important things are revealed about this gang. One of which is that they have a hand sign, which is two fingers kind of gently curled over like little bunny ears. And they kind of launch them forward like
fangs.
Yeah. So there's that. The second is that if you're a woman and you want to join the gang, your initiation ritual is different.
You must dance.
true. You must dance. You must do a pole dance, as it were. Which, it seems like less physically taxing than the male initiation. You don't have to get bit by a rattlesnake or whatever.
Is that the male initiation?
Or no, it's not a rattlesnake. It's just a regular snake.
Do they? It's like a snake that they own?
You have to, like, get beat up, and then, yeah, they have a snake.
Okay.
Though I know pole dancing is pretty physically taxing in its own way. But anyway.
It's more just like a striptease, right?
It is a striptease. Yeah, you're right.
You don't have to use a pole.
I guess that's true.
Or I don't know.
So anyway, Betty, who is a child like the other main characters in the show, lest you forget, she decides to join the Southside Serpents for Jughead so they can be together properly. Meanwhile, Jughead's dad wants to retire from the Southside Serpents. I guess you retire from the gang. I don't know. There's going to be like a pension.
That must be why. Yeah. He hit 50.
He's ready for his qualified pension. Yeah. So he's going to retire, and so they decide to throw him a retirement party. And it's at this retirement party where Betty decides to do her pole dance striptease, a child, in front of a bunch of grown adults and some of her other friends who are children, and her mom, who's also
mother,
there.
Her boyfriend's dad and her mom.
And her mom, yeah. And so she is stripping in front of all of these people, and none of whom are like, you're a child, you need to get off the fucking stage. They're all like, ooh, that was pretty good.
Good for you, girl.
It is definitely the most disturbing thing that happens this season.
She also is doing a striptease to a really, like, slowed down version of Mad World.
Yes, this is why I brought up the weird song choices. Yes. What song would you strip to?
Lollipop, obviously.
You know which one I would do?
What?
Careless Whisper.
It's one, like, Archie and Veronica happens. Are singing Mad World to the Serpents. Like, why were they performing? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then they leave the stage, and then Betty's like, this is a good time for me to strip.
Yeah, it's confusing. And then she becomes a Southside Serpent. Very cool. Coolest gang in town.
Yep.
Another thing that happens in this season, they have a gay friend named Kevin. And Kevin, his main characteristic is that he's gay.
Yeah.
I guess he's also the sheriff's son, so...
Right.
He's probably one of the hottest characters on the show, I think.
Hmm.
Him or Reggie.
Actually, I would say Reggie and then Archie.
Ugh, yeah, I'm not as much into Archie.
Kevin is cute.
Archie's, like, facial structure is too aggressive for me.
There's too much face.
It's just, like, a lot of hills and valleys.
It is, yeah.
I prefer, like, a flatter surface.
Kevin has a nice, flat face. Reggie is Asian, which is cool.
He's like half Asian, like me, I think, right? God. Or he looks, I don't know. Maybe he's fully Asian.
Maybe
and
he's
I'm
half.
Being a racist.
I don't know. But he was replaced in season two.
Oh,
a different actor in season one.
I didn't notice.
Oh my
God. Explain, please.
The first actor went on to do that show 13 Reasons Why.
Oh.
So they replaced him with a different dude. That first actor is also super hot. I, like, happened to read an interview with him where he was saying that he left because his character on 13... I've never watched that show, but his character on 13 Reasons Why is more of a, like, main character, so he's more fully fleshed out.
Sense.
So it's, like, a better deal for him. But they got two hot Asian guys on that show out of it.
Nice!
I think season two's hotter. I think he looks a little older in season two.
Okay. So we're talking about Kevin.
Yeah.
His main storyline in season two is that he jogs in the woods for sex.
Apparently, he and just lots of other gay youth children...
Yeah, gay children.
...are just jogging at night in the woods in a town where everyone gets murdered. That's troubling. Kevin really got the short end of the stick this season. His storylines are all just, like, jogging in the woods and just, like, supporting his friends.
Yeah. Okay. The other things that I wanted to bring up before we have some kind of worst actors, best characters, etc.
Did you mention Cheryl's storyline this season? Hers is, like, intense.
Cheryl, we find out that Cheryl is gay or bisexual. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And her mom, like, sends her to, like, the, an insane asylum. Or no, it's like a gay re-education camp.
Yeah, like a scared straight.
Oh, yeah, like conversion therapy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that insane asylum in Pretty Little Liars.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah. And but then she is busted out by Tony Topaz and Kevin.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. That's the only use that Kevin has is that he knows about this like secret passage to the insane asylum because of his jogging. They break her out. Then there's like a ton of other kids in there that they just leave behind.
It's fine. They're fine. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
I was like, oh, wow, all these kids are going to escape. But all the kids are just like, bye.
Bye. We're being converted, so if you could pull it. Yeah. And Cheryl, her dad died at the end of season one, and his twin brother shows up the, like, reading of the will. Yeah, that was extremely PLL. Her mom becomes a fancy hooker. It's very weird. There's more talk about Jingle Jangle in this season.
It's ruining this town.
It's ruining a town, and it comes in Pixie Sticks packages, which seems pretty advanced. So they're using a lot of Jingle Jangle. Betty finds out that she has a half-brother who's been kept a secret. His name is Charles, but he goes by Chick, which I don't think is an accepted nickname for the name Charles. No,
it's short for chicken. Or chick. I'm not making that up. That's real. What did you say? You said chicklet. It has to be short for either chicken or chicklet.
Oh, chicklet. I didn't think about maybe that. I didn't say anything. You've done more thinking about this than I have.
No, you were like, what is chick short for? I mean, we knew that it was Charles, but you're like, it has to be short for something. I thought you said chicklet.
I've never heard anyone go by that name.
No, it's not an established nickname. Yeah, okay. I just think in his case.
This is also important to bring up. He makes his money by being a cam boy, which it's not. They don't go very explicit into what type of cam work he does, but
yeah, they. I mean, they just show him like talking to people.
Yeah, in Kevin, a in scary particular. Hotel room. Yeah.
Well, Kevin is put onto it by Betty because she wants to like investigate. Right, yeah. Chicken, right?
She wants to investigate the chicken. So yeah, and then he like teaches Betty to be a cam girl, and she like wears her dominatrix wig and like does cam girling, which is never, it's just dropped. It's like brought up and then dropped mid-season, never brought up again. And then you find out that Chicken is not actually her half-brother, and he's been the talented Mr. Ripley-ing the whole time.
I've actually never seen that movie.
Oh, it's good. It's, like, really spooky.
Is that Matt Damon?
It's one of my favorite performances of his.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can we watch that sometime? I think it's supposed to be good.
Yeah, it is really good. So, he's been impersonating her brother the whole time, and then they... things escalate, and he ends up tied up in a chair in their basement, and they're beating him up, and he tells a story of what actually happened to her brother, and he's very dramatic. It's like, he OD'd on Jingle Jangle. That's very dramatic.
I remember I texted you in that line. Yeah. You hadn't watched the season yet, and I didn't remember that Jingle Jangle wasn't a thing in season one, but I remember what he said. He's like, he OD'd. Just the way people talk about Jingle Jangle. Which is also a beloved holiday candy for sale at Trader Joe's.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's, I've actually never had it, but it's like one of those, it's like a mix of toffee, chocolate, whatever.
Oh.
It's supposed to be good.
I like those
peppermint, I assume. Oh. Yeah, we should buy it in December.
Yeah.
Mark your calendars.
Let's try not to OD on Jingle Jangle.
We could easily OD on Jingle
Jangle. We could. And so, yeah, that happens. And then we also find out later that Betty's dad is the Black Balaclava. Yeah.
Wait, Chicklet murders someone.
Chicklet murders someone. It's not, it's casual. Like, Betty's mom and Betty go and bury the body somewhere. It's fine.
They, like, put the car in a lake.
Yeah, that's never been a good move.
It obviously surfaces.
Yeah.
And then it's dropped, right?
Does yeah,
it ever
dropped.
Come back?
Yeah, well, the lady, like, who, the owner of the car who knew the murdered guy comes to claim it, and then she tries to blackmail them, and they scare her away with a group of children.
Oh, the dudes show up.
The Southside Serpent children.
Right.
Oh my god. What do you call a baby snake? Is it just a baby snake?
Baby snake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All the Southside baby serpents show up and they scare a grown woman and man out of the house.
Correct.
And they never come back and it's not a problem anymore. And then we find out later that Betty's dad is the guy who's been murdering everyone because he's a fucking psycho. And also the worst actor on the show.
I think he's by the far. Best.
Everyone's yeah. doing their best with this dialogue. He is the worst character.
His character is pretty poorly written. Yeah.
They're all he's poorly
just,
written.
Well, but he's just like, he has nothing, but he's just angry all the time.
Yeah,
right?
He's bad at delivering
no
lies.
Other modes.
Yeah.
And before they reveal that he is the Black Hood, they just start really playing up the green in his eyes.
Oh like my God.
Multiple episodes, suddenly he's like, Betty? And like his eyes are like super green.
I feel like his eyes are never that green.
No, they,
as green as
they
the.
Definitely like messed with it.
When they started writing this season, they weren't sure who they were going to make the Black Hood be.
Right.
And then they figured it out in the last two episodes.
They just had to choose, like, a middle-aged man.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they also, the wrong dude gets killed because they think he's the Black Hood originally.
Well, he's also, like, threatening people, too.
Svensson?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not the actual Black Hood.
Yeah.
Doesn't he get some of his fingers chopped off or something?
Something like that.
And then Archie gets buried alive.
Just casual, it's fine. Yeah. The four of them, Archie, Veronica, Betty, and Jughead, go on a weekend away where, like, they, each couple, like, fucks really loudly, and the other couple is, like, hilariously commenting on it. It's so weird.
Yeah. Oh, someone also gets murdered on that trip. Some, like, townie
gets
messing with them.
Yeah. I think, just in terms of group trip etiquette, don't
murder anyone. Don't have sex.
Well, don't murder anyone.
Don't have sex when you're in, like, adjoining rooms.
Yes, oh my
or
God.
Adjacent rooms.
Yes, unless you're, like, a silent sex haver, which would be kind of creepy.
Or unless they're, like, in a pretty big house.
Yeah.
If they'd made the bedrooms on, like, opposite corners of the mansion.
Maybe it would be okay.
But it seems like they're either, like, on top of each other or next to each other.
Yeah. Anyway, so that happens.
Anyway.
Lots of people are killed. It doesn't really matter. The last thing that I was going to talk about the season is there's, like, in the last or the penultimate episode, the Black Balaclava is wandering around threatening people. He comes after Cheryl. Cheryl makes a break for it, goes to the shed, grabs her bow and arrow.
She is an archer.
And a Little Red Riding Hood outfit that she refers to as her hunting cape. She was like, thank goodness I could get my bow and arrows in my hunting cape.
Does the cape help her with the aim?
I don't know. It looks insane.
She looks incredible.
She does.
She can't be out
She's
there
a
without
real
her cape.
Legolas. Yeah. That was insane. And then at the very end of the season, this rival gang, much talked about, never shown on the screen, called the Ghoulies comes back, and they're fully Juggalos. Like, they're in Juggalo makeup.
They look
fucking
like scary clowns.
Insane. Yeah. I looked up Juggalos. It's like it's not a Venn diagram. It's just two circles on top of each other. Yeah.
Well, so the Ghoulies are like what you would actually think is a real gang. It's not just like sons and dads bonding at a charity Christmas
drive.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like people who use violence. They're the ones who sell Jingle Jangle,
yeah,
right? Like, the serpents look down on them.
Yeah.
Because they sell Jingle Jangle.
Oh, my God.
And they're willing to use physical violence.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So they get, like, hired by Hiram to, like, generally fuck things up.
Yeah, he's not very strategic. Or maybe he's, like, super strategic. Maybe he's, like, Trump playing 4D chess.
Probably.
That's upsetting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I brought up Trump.
Let's get into your copious...
Okay, so those are all the things that I wanted to talk about. Oh, one stray observation just about the caliber of the writing on the show.
Mm.
The main hotel, the fancy hotel, is called the Five Seasons.
It is? That's incredible. Okay.
And the prison is called Shankshaw.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Which
did not even try.
I don't know if you guys have heard of this little indie movie called The Shawshank Redemption.
What a...
So anyway, that's the name of the prison in that movie. I don't know which came first.
Yeah, how dare you insinuate that the writers were cheating off of The Shawshank Redemption.
You're right. It's unclear. We'll never know. So anyway, Riverdale... Great show. 10 out of 10, for sure. Who do you... Okay, so we already talked about who the worst actor is.
Can we talk about the musical episode? Is that coming up in your notes?
That was on my notes, yes.
That's actually the most important episode
there's
of any TV show.
A very disturbing episode where they do a musical I guess Carrie is a musical, an established musical, well, based on the novel or
so
movie.
I didn't know about Carrie the musical, but apparently it is. It was, like, critically panned. It was,
oh,
like,
really?
Supposed to be. So they purposefully chose it because it's not performed now.
Right. Oh.
Because it is genuinely,
so it's
like,
cheap.
Supposed to be thought of a terrible musical. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they, like, are trying to, like, revive the image of Carrie the musical. I mean, in the show.
Okay.
I think they purposefully chose it because it's just, like, campy and silly, but apparently in real life, the musical is generally considered terrible.
Oh.
And is, like, not regularly performed ever.
But I think literally anyone could perform it, and it would be less upsetting than what we saw on Riverdale.
What did you not like about it?
Oh my god. I was, like, paralyzed in horror. Like, it's very clear from early on in the episode that it's going to be a musical episode,
yeah.
And I was just shocked and bewildered.
Why do they have to make all the actors sing?
I don't know.
They're not good at it.
No, they're not. It's, well, that is really weird. Josie, they have Josie sing.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but yeah, a lot of the, and then Barb from Stranger Things is on there.
I really thought that Cheryl was, like, the worst singer, and she's, like,
yeah.
The main, she plays Carrie, so she gets all of these huge, like, solos, and I don't think that actress is a great singer.
Well, I think they did a lot of stuff in post to make it sound reasonable. But yeah. Maybe not reasonable enough.
No!
I can't. There's no way for me to describe in words this episode. It's insane.
Jughead is making a documentary about the musical.
Yeah, it's somehow worse than the musical itself.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The fact that he's making a documentary is definitely worse than the fact that they're putting on the musical.
Yes.
Archie dances.
Ugh.
And his elbows move
like a chicken,
like 100 at least 150 degrees.
Oh,
just when he's
no.
snapping, he should just be moving up
oh
and down.
Oh my god.
And he is moving fully,
he's
like
three dimensional snapping. There's a lot
so
of bell bottoms. There's just, I don't know why it happened, but apparently it's happening again,
yes.
In season 3. I guess the fans can't get enough.
I'm so excited.
I would say it is either the best episode of the season or the worst episode of the season. I can't decide.
Yeah, I think it's the best.
Yeah.
It just really leans into
it does lean
everything.
In. This is true. Betty's mom is in the musical. It's insane.
Yeah.
Which I can't. I don't think that's ever happened in real life.
No, they like couldn't find another blonde person,
yes.
So they had to cast someone's mom.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So I love that it, like,
oh my
really
God.
Leaned into all
yeah.
the, like, campy, like, just really leaned into all the stereotypes.
Oh yeah,
of the show.
Yeah.
But I also loved the ending. That was like,
oh, the ending was
a
shocking.
Spooky
I was
ending.
Not expecting that to happen.
I had to
at
like
the end,
watch
someone
Frasier after that.
Gets murdered and it. Yeah, so, like, they're all dancing on stage, and it's a big reveal, and it's supposed to be someone singing, and instead, the, like, curtains open, and it's, like, this girl that's dead on a
She's
wall.
She's been, like, stabbed to the wall.
Yeah, and her name is Midge.
Midge,
yeah. So, anyway, that's season 2. I highly encourage you to watch it. Our description cannot do it justice.
Not at all.
No. Okay, so we already talked about who we thought was the worst actor on the show, unless you have any other alternatives?
I actually think that Jughead's dad is also a pretty unfortunate actor.
Oh, is he? I can't tell because he's so fine.
He's really fine. The problem is just that all of his lines are really sincere.
Oh.
And I feel like he just doesn't do a good job. He's never...
Because,
like, Betty's dad is just angry.
Oh, he's
and
so
it's, like,
bad.
Unfortunate for the character. Which is bad, but I feel like Jughead's dad is always really just trying to be really righteous.
Oh.
And he's always like, I gotta look out for my boy.
Yeah,
and I
that's true.
Just don't think the actor is doing great.
Yeah. All right, Jorm. I feel that.
Who are you gonna, you wanna talk about the best actors?
Oh, I wasn't even on there.
Who is the best actor?
Cheryl. Cheryl's
hands
great.
Down. Yeah.
Well, the woman who plays Betty, like, she has to do a lot of crying, and she does a really good job crying.
That's true. And actually,
Betty's mom is pretty good. Yeah. She was in Gilmore Girls. She played...
the girlfriend. Chris's girlfriend.
Gigi's mom.
What's
I forgot
her
name.
It's like, what is her name?
I don't remember. Yeah.
Oh, Sherry.
Sherry. Yeah. So she's really good. And I mean, the show is what it is. Oh, one more line I wanted to talk about. At the end of the season, for whatever reason, FP, which is Jughead's dad, is actually retiring from the Southside Serpents, and instead of choosing from many more experienced and older people to lead the gang, they choose Jughead, who is a high school junior, maybe?
At best.
At best. So he is the, quote, Serpent King, unquote. And so, that's weird. A weird management decision. And then he gets a room at the Five Seasons for him and Betty. And he literally says to her, now that I'm the Serpent King,
I don't like this.
Will you be my Serpent Queen?
I really don't like that.
It was, oh my God, I needed to vomit immediately afterwards. Oh, it was horrible. Even reliving it now.
It's making me uncomfortable.
Giving me nausea. So that happened. Okay, who is your favorite character? Mine is obviously Cheryl.
Maybe Cheryl. If not Cheryl, my favorite character, I'm gonna say, is Hiram Lodge. Okay. Not Cheryl.
He's very devious.
He's just bad.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. Yeah.
He's like soups hot. Yeah. He's so hot. And he's just, like, terrible.
Yeah.
And he, like, pretends to... And he keeps saying, mija and mi amor, and, like, pretending to care about his wife and child.
Yes.
But he really doesn't.
Yeah.
And they're, like, setting up the next season to be, like, him versus his own daughter.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And, oh, and his wife is gonna be mayor. So that'll be interesting.
That's true, yes. My least favorite character might be Pop Tate, who is the owner / manager / head chef of the only restaurant in their town called Pop's Chocolate Shop. I don't have a problem with him, but there's this trope called the magical Negro trope that is basically like a black person who just, like, is there to assist the white characters and, like, with his, like, little...
Give worldly advice.
Yeah, exactly. Give advice, have, like, little nuggets of wisdom and stuff. And he is... that character, for sure.
Yeah, but actually towards the end he just kind of becomes sort of a victim, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know, he just seems to only be there to be like Mr. Wholesome or whatever. I don't know, it seems
that's true.
Yeah,
I will say yet again,
and the fact that he's like waiting on all of these like white children is kind of strange.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But in the comics, again, that character is white.
Okay, so yeah.
Maybe they were just like...
I don't see why they didn't cast a black person to be
one of the four core people.
The core four.
Oh, sorry, core four, four core.
Yeah. This isn't parkour. One of the parkour.
Why couldn't they have made one of the parkour black and done now?
Yeah.
That's true. They had to... I guess... They got
There's
Veronica,
plenty of black characters, but yeah, I think his is leaves the most to be desired.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Okay, who is the Dilfiest Dilf? My vote is obviously for Jughead's dad, FP.
I'm going to say Veronica's dad, Hiram.
Oh, really?
They're both really hot, but he's just always wearing suits.
Oh, he does wear very well-tailored suits. And just,
like, has real
suits.
Good, like, stubble.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, all right.
But, I mean, Jughead's dad's always wearing a leather jacket.
He's got, like, really good stubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's hot. Yeah. But then sometimes, he, like, briefly works at Pop Tate's.
Oh, that's
and he
upsetting.
Wears that troubling outfit.
He wears, like, a weird, like, diner boy outfit. Yeah, it's very strange. So, yeah, those are all the things that I had in my notes.
Yeah.
So overall, love it. Love the show. It's great. Keep going.
It's a prestige
Keep up the good
draw.
Work. Yeah, it is in the vein of Mad Men, The Wire, that kind of thing. Similar.
Exactly.
So if you enjoyed The Wire, you will enjoy Riverdale.
100%.
One thing that I like is there isn't really an opening credits sequence. It's just like the word Riverdale in like the lettering, like the kind of lettering you would see on like a Letterman jacket, flashing in neon, and every time, so they do that at the beginning of the episode and at the end, and every time it comes on, it's like a black screen with the word flashing Riverdale, and whenever I see it, I always say, Riverdale!
That's what they want!
Yeah, it's like a bold choice. Instead of having an opening or closing credits, it's just, Riverdale!
It adds a lot.
Yeah. 10 out of 10. I definitely recommend it.
I have no complaints.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Zero complaints. Yeah. Agreed.
I was going to say, I really like the episode. Do you remember what it's like weird. It doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. It's like split into three storylines.
Oh yeah.
Again, apparently this is like all very referential and I don't get any of the references.
Oh brother.
But it's like each character just has their own spooky storyline.
Oh, I think I remember this one. So, this is probably like their Halloween episode or something.
Maybe, yeah. So Archie and Jughead, their spooky storyline is they have to transport drugs.
Oh, yeah.
And they, like, meet some scary man who's, like, not scary. Yeah,
I forgot about that.
Betty and Veronica also have a storyline. I don't remember what it is. Yeah. The one I really liked but was apparently very controversial was Cheryl and Josie. It's the one where Cheryl
is, like, creeping
stalking Josie.
Cheryl's full of mysteries. Like, it's fine.
Well, so, apparently, before that, I guess we didn't know that she was bi or gay.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were upset, like, that, oh, this is how you introduce a bi character by, like, making her a predator.
Well, Cheryl's already creepy, though,
yeah, but,
as a person.
I mean, also, it, like, doesn't have anything to do with the rest of her actual storyline. No. It's, like, just in that one episode, she's kind of, like, a predator.
It. Which, the musical episode just, like, resolves a bunch of things that they had left hanging.
Oh, really? Does she, like, apologize to her or something?
They, like, have it out. They apologize.
Well,
Betty and Veronica had a fight, and they resolve it.
They resolve it in song.
Yeah. So do Cheryl and...
They do?
Yes.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that is a weird episode.
I really liked that episode because I felt like each part was, like, genuinely spooky. I was very spooked when I was watching it.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, great, and I was like, great, the storylines have nothing to do with actual story.
Yeah.
It's just, like, three... Oh, actually, the Betty and Veronica storyline is them discovering that Josie's mom is having an affair...
Oh, yeah, with Kevin's dad.
Kevin's dad is having an affair with Josie's mom.
Yeah.
So I guess it is related.
You know, now that you bring it up, I think that there is something to be said for, like, I know a lot of TV shows now are released, you know, all at once, but there's something to be said for, like, the Halloween episode, the Thanksgiving episode, the Christmas episode of shows that are released only, like, once a week or whatever.
For sure,
which is fun. I do think that the best Christmas episode of any show is the one of Pretty Little Liars, where at the end, they're all in a slumber party at Spencer's house, and it is strongly implied... Let me back it up. Okay, they're all in their jammies, all of the ladies are there, and all of their boyfriends are there, and at the end of the show, the boyfriends cascade down the staircase, and they're like one per step or whatever on four different steps, and they're dressed in Santa hats and red silk boxers and nothing else, and it's strongly implied that they have a Christmas orgy of teenagers.
And
one grown
teacher.
Adult. Yeah, and a teacher.
One of those hot dudes is their teacher.
Yeah, so I don't think Riverdale can top that in terms of, like, a Christmas episode.
That's so true.
We can hope.
Yeah. What are other good Christmas episodes of shows?
Oh.
Every show does
one. I'm drawing a blank, but Community had, like, some good Halloween episodes.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Community
got real messed up. Yeah.
I just like when Troy Donald Glover's character says that he's a sexy Dracula,
and
Abed corrects him like, "Oh, you mean vampire?" And he's like, "No, I'm a sexy Dracula." So that's a good one, and it's actually relevant because that ABBA movie just came out, and during the whole Halloween episode, the Dean's ABBA playlist is going.
Wait, I need to rewatch this whole episode because
it's a great episode.
Love ABBA.
Are you watching Here We Go Again?
What is that?
The sequel. Mamma Mia, Here
is that,
We Go Again.
No, I'm not going to pay to watch that.
Okay.
But I will watch it when it comes out on Netflix.
Oh my god.
Because it got great reviews.
Okay, so back to Riverdale.
Yeah.
Do you recommend? Any other closing thoughts?
No. I mean, there's no other show that combines, like, it's genuinely spooky. When Midge is literally, like, held up to a wall with various knives.
Yeah.
I, like, was very scared.
I was scared every time Betty was talking on the phone with the mystery.
Yes.
Black balaclava.
The ringtone becomes scarier and scarier over
time.
Yeah, it
does. Yeah.
I
wish they had changed it to Karma Police by Radiohead.
That's what you would striptease to.
You know what?
Ramen.
The world is not ready for a Karma Police striptease, okay? But when the world is ready, I will be there.
First in line. Yeah.
God, that song is really... Well, maybe it's not that long. It just feels long.
Is it?
Yeah.
You have to wear, like, a lot of layers.
Yeah. dressed for a Russian winter.
Yeah, it combines all, it's like genuinely spooky at parts. And it's just all the things you love about, like, Gossip Girl and PLL.
Oh, I forgot about Gossip Girl. Another spooky teen drama.
So spooky.
Yeah, but it leans more into the teen drama than spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the episode. We are starting an Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
We've retired. We are working on retiring the Twitter. Our Twitter manager is...
in law school.
Yeah, but even when you weren't in law school, it's like thing, you.
Should I, should I deactivate?
No, I'll handle it.
Okay. I can deactivate!
Can you?
Yes, I'll find
it. No, we'll button. Leave it there for posterity. There's some good hashtag content on there. So we're going to be starting an Instagram tonight, in fact. So by the time you hear this, you can follow us at Night Cheese Pod. And that's it. Thank you for listening. And good night.
Cheese.